Every Sunday, you need to get emotionally ready for the week. Reflect, reveal, learn, and grow. This is a moment of introspection.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Sunday. This has been a pretty cool week. This is a topic that I think has been long overdue for the Introspective Podcast, talking about family first entrepreneurship. And we've had some pretty cool topics, you know, from the integrated lifestyle and how to get more support from your spouse with Monica Tanner, Justine Mater talking about the integrated lifestyle, and then the home economy, which was super cool with the Keens, Katie and Steve Keen, which is really cool. Love that. And today, I thought a really good way to kind of cap this week off is to talk about going into business with people who are your family and friends too. I think we can also call really good friends. We can also look at them as family in certain ways. So I have certainly had some experience in this area of hiring people who are friends, not direct family members per se, but people who are were very close to my family, as well as good friends. And I'll be honest, it's not worked out ever for me. Now, that doesn't mean it can't work out. And I will share with you. Now, the reason, this is the thing, and this is what I want you to understand as I go into this episode. I want you to know that if you are considering hiring a friend or going into business with a friend or a family member, that it could work out and it could be a really good idea. Because as you go through this episode, you might get to the end and be like, I don't ever want to hire a friend. This sounds like a terrible idea. I just want to point out the warning signs and some things to keep an eye out for as you approach that relationship and as you pursue that relationship, because it can lead you down a road that you don't want to take. And unfortunately, it ends up becoming a little too late in order to really fix the damage. It ends up becoming too late, and it ends in a lost friend. And depending on how good of a friend this person is to you, you know, you have to really have a serious conversation with yourself. Is this somebody that, you know, am I okay if this goes south? Am I okay with losing this friendship? Because it's likely that you will. And in your head, you might be thinking, no, not me. We are so close. There's no way that would ever happen. You know, hold your horses there, because there's a lot of people who get married without the thought that it would ever end in a divorce. And like, was it 60% or something of people who get married end up getting divorced? Things change, right? Things can change. And when you get into business where it's filled with risk and uncertainty and hard decisions and having to handle money, and you got that all mixed into it, it can get a little dicey. And if you are not on the same page with each other, and you're not aligned, it can get pretty dicey. So I'm going to keep this very like clear cut for this episode. I want to go over really three things or warning signs to kind of look out for if you're thinking about hiring your friend or your family member. And these are warning signs that I have personally witnessed as well as experienced in my business journey. So it all comes from my own experience. Maybe there's some other warning signs out there. Possibly. I think I've got them covered here, but that's not to say there are not others. So the first one is that if you hire your friend or your family member, there is always going to be some inherent conflict of interest that will impede in your business decisions. And it sucks. I'm going to start with this one because this is the one I think that sucks the most. It's really annoying. And I'll give you an example. So with my, I've had two situations where I have hired or have been in partnership with a friend, or somebody who was a really good friend, and then another person who was a good friend of my parents. Okay. So when things get dicey, and they'll get to a point, and they might not get to a point, but they could get to a point. They got to a point with me where the behavior or the conduct or the outlook or whatever it you want to, whatever it may be, basically tells you that this is probably not somebody I should be in business with. You know, it starts out in this honeymoon phase and you're both excited. You're like, yeah, we're going to go into business together. It's going to be amazing. And then once you start getting into it, the reality starts to set in and you start seeing exactly what it's like. And it could paint a very positive picture. It could paint and uncover some things that you weren't aware of that can completely shift your perspective of that decision to go into business with that person. And for me, it was the latter. I was like, oh, you know, this is not this is not what I thought it was. And sometimes it can take a little while for that to uncover. Although for myself, looking back on it, I can say that it took, there was definitely some writing on the wall that I purposely avoided to read. And looking back on it, there was definitely signs that I should have taken note of as I was going through that relationship. So with this inherent conflict of interest, you know, when you have that situation where you're dealing with some, you know, someone kind of a dicey situation with this person, maybe they're, you know, from my case, there was definitely some unethical behavior going on at my lighting business. I had my general manager, he was kind of running the operations. And I was getting a lot of feedback that he was doing a lot of unethical things. And from there, you know, I continued to give him the benefit of the doubt, try to give him second chances. And that's that inherent conflict of interest, because there were definitely some behavior that was going on that in any other normal business, you know, if there was no friendship there, if I wasn't thinking like, gosh, if I fire this guy, then my friendship is gone. And we hang out with a lot of the same people. What's that going to look like? Like, those thoughts will run through your mind. And so it starts to impede on your business decision. The business decision should be, I need to fire your ass because this is just completely unacceptable. And I mean, and I'm talking about, you know, some pretty bad behavior going on. I'm not talking about mistakes and making mistakes. I'm talking about things like there were some, and I'm not going to go into detail here, but there were things that could have easily put the business in a lawsuit. And because of the behavior, some very bad things that were going on, and I was trying to mediate it and it just wasn't working. And it's even to this day, I kind of look back on it. It's some regret. You know, I definitely have, you know, some feelings of like, gosh, I can't believe I let that go on. Like, that's not good. I never want to ever do that again. Never again will I let that. And the way I'm going to fix it is I'm not ever going to go into business again with a friend or a family member. It ain't going to happen. I'm just keeping them out of it because I don't want that inherent conflict of interest impeding in my business decisions. And, you know, it's just not good. I learned, it was definitely a lesson learned, unfortunately, the hard way. And it did turn into the ending of a friendship. And it kind of leads me into my next point here. The second thing that you're going to notice is how they show up. You know, obviously, this is somebody who's a friend of mine. And, you know, I don't typically befriend people who are going to be unethical or do things that are unethical. But once you bring a business into the picture, and especially when there's some kind of a delegation of power and you're giving people certain power, that is going to affect how they show up, right? How they show up as a friend, you know, at the brewery, at the restaurant, you know, at the whatever outing, we're playing cornhole, we're having fun, we're enjoying our company. That's not the same as how they're going to show up in the office and it's time to be productive and it's time to work through a project together. They're going to show up differently. And, you know, it could be that they just don't take you as serious, depending on the friendship. It always comes down to friendship, what that friendship looks like, looking at the respect. You know, they might not take you as serious when it comes down to like providing accountability. And I certainly noticed that. I remember my GM, you know, he would like walk in constantly with sandals on, and it was like, you know, we're having to go out and get on ladders and, you know, do production work. I'm like, dude, like, you need to put on shoes. Like, it's a safety thing. Like, go put on some shoes. And I had to say that, you know, four or five times, constantly reminding. And he would always kind of brush. He was like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, I got it. And he just didn't really take it very serious. And you know, I think that if I were truly, like, perceived as a boss, I'd believe that it would have been very different how he would have showed up. And the same goes with some of my other, you know, interactions, even with the partner I had, you know, back when I first got started, how he would show up, you know, to me, you know, as far as a partner goes, was, you know, it just wasn't serious. It was, I think there was that embedded relationship there. Now on the flip side, you might have somebody who in a relationship, they really, like, they're obsessed with not disappointing you. Oh my gosh, this is my friend. They've done so much for me. I just can't let them down. I can't let them down. I can't deal with, like, the thought of them, you know, seeing me out, or, you know, we're going to be in the same circles, and I just don't want them to ever feel like I've let them down. So they could, like, overdo it. And, you know, as far as how they show up, and they go above and beyond. Now, that's a great thing if that happens. I think it's a great thing. I never had it happen to me. It was always the first one where I'm not taken as seriously. Of course, I only dealt with really two situations in terms of this type of relationship. So, you know, it's very possible that, you know, I just didn't have enough of a sample size there. But how they show up is certainly something that you want to really pay attention to. And I will say, like, if you do decide to go into business with a friend, really just pay attention to their behavior as that relationship starts to blossom more and more. And not as a friend, but as a colleague in business, as an associate in business, right? We're moving from friend to now business colleague. And you need to pay attention to how their behavior and their, you know, communication with you, how that changes, and pay attention to it. Look for patterns, look for consistency. You know, did they, like my GM, he went on a power trip. Like, I saw a power trip kick it in, and I was like, oh, I didn't know that was part of you. Now I do. Now I see that, you know, like, that's behavior noted, got it. And think it, just keep an eye on that. Right. So that's my piece of advice in terms of that. The third thing that I want to bring up in this relationship, and this is something I think that kind of starts in the beginning when you're making that decision to move forward, is overlooking risk tolerance. Risk tolerance is easily overlooked. And this is more applicable to a business partnership more so than if it's I'm the employer or I'm the owner of the business and I'm hiring my friend to be an employee of myself. Although at that point in time, now you always will feel this responsibility. If you've never hired anybody, especially full time, and your first full time employee, you'll immediately feel this responsibility. I am responsible for their well being, and, you know, and if you don't feel that, maybe you won't. I certainly did. It's like, wow, like, their mortgages, they got families and kids, and it's all, you know, this business that I created once upon a time ago that's now grown to now it needs a staff. You know, this business is responsible for keeping food on the table for them. And so your responsibility as a business owner dramatically will increase. And you talk about that whole concept of imposter syndrome. Well, imposter syndrome really kicks up quite a bit when you start hiring that first employee, because you feel that responsibility. And, you know, so when it comes to this, we think about the tolerance of risk. And what I mean by tolerance of risk is, and I'll just make it really simple for you, it really comes down to money. And, you know, if you go into business with a friend and there are, you know, there's money that has to be, you know, put forth to invest into the business and to build the business. And, you know, maybe you're short. Right? Maybe you're short and we have to make a decision here to cut some pay. You know, that could also happen too. It could be that it depends on the business you have, but if, let's just say you've got a business that requires maybe there's I'll use this as an example. I'm trying to think of something that's really easy to apply. Let's say you have a team and you got some payroll expense, right? And you just haven't really been hitting your numbers and your cash levels are depleting. And it gets to the point where it's like, hey, Bob's my business partner, who's also my really good friend. It's like, hey, Bob, like, dude, we need $10,000, you know, in the next week to be able to get our payroll. And we don't have it. We don't have anything in the pipeline. You know, maybe we'll hit some sales, but we might need to pony up some money so we can keep payroll, so we can make payroll. You know, I mean, what do you have? I mean, do you got any money? I can put up the $5,000 on my end. You got the $5,000 on your end? Bob's like, dude, man, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I've got $5,000, but it's in my savings account. You know, it's my wife. Like, I don't think she's going to let me take it. And, you know, we've got other things. We got this trip coming up and then we got to make sure we got money for that. And I mean, I can maybe get like $1,000, you know, but I definitely can't do five. You can't do five. Well, I mean, how are we going to make the payroll? Then it turns that you can see where this is going, right? It turns into this, and this is like a really small example. It can be like far more magnified. 10 grand in the grand scheme of things is not that much money when it comes to business. It can become far more, you know, when you're talking about making investment decisions and stuff and you're trying to expand the business, you know, that's where risk tolerance also really kicks in. It's like if somebody's really protective over their money and they're not willing to put it at risk, you know, it's like, how all in are you really on this business? Are you all in enough to be able to put your vacation on hold to make sure payroll is getting met? Or is that not the priority here? And if, you know, let's just say on the other side of it, let's say money's fine. Let's say, you know, we've got 30 grand sitting in the bank. And I say, hey, Bob, you know, what do you think about buying a building for our office? You know, it's going to take $20,000 out of the bank for a down payment. Plus, we're going to have to sign a loan that also requires a personal guarantee, which means if it defaults, like the bank can actually come out after us personally, you know, for $300,000. I'm just picking some numbers, right? And Bob's like, man, I don't want to put my personal stuff at risk. You know, I don't want to do that. And I don't want to take 20 grand. I mean, that's 2/3 of our money. Are you crazy? It's like, yeah, but if we do this, and let me show you the white paper, the calculation of how this is going to affect ROI. And then Bob's just like, and then it becomes, again, you can see where this is going. It starts becoming a conflict that you got to work out. So you have to really think about risk tolerance. I'll end on this. These are just, again, I'm just trying to give you some warning signs here to kind of think about as you move into this business relationship, regardless if it's partner or employee, you need to be thinking about this. And I think that the best way to kind of navigate this decision, the first one is a question I think you need to ask yourself, and it could be a series of questions, but you need to ask yourself some pretty tough questions, and it needs to be based around, if I had to fire this person, would I be okay with it, right? If I needed to step into a position, like if I felt like this wasn't working out, and let's just say this is an employee, somebody you're hiring, you know, if I had to fire this person, could I do it? Would I be okay with that? Would I be okay with losing this friendship over this business relationship going south? Am I okay with that? And really think about it. Like imagine yourself being in a position where the business arrangement doesn't work out and you actually have to fire this person. Think about it and make the decision if that's something you're okay. Because it is something you're risking. You are risking that friendship, whether you realize it or not, you are. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing that I ask for you to do, and this is something my mentor, George Bryant, I remember him mentioning this when he was talking about partnerships. I thought this was sound advice, is he said, like, you know, I set up a time. We meet face-to-face, not over the phone, not in a Zoom call, but face-to-face, and we put out everything on the table. What makes me nervous about this, what I'm excited about, like every single emotion, everything, everything goes out on the table, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then you talk about it and you talk through it. And if it feels like it's a good decision based on the end of that, by the end of that conversation, then sure, you know, consider moving forward. But at least go through that exercise to understand if that is something that is feasible and you're okay with, because it is certainly a different dynamic. I mean, shoot, partnerships alone, when you are going into partnership, it's a lot like getting married. It really is. I mean, you're having to make a lot of financial decisions together, just like you would in a marriage. So it's not, there's not much difference really. In fact, I would almost argue to say that a business partnership is probably more challenging to navigate than an actual marriage, because you're constantly making risk-based decisions in a business partnership. You're not really doing that as much in a marriage. I mean, don't get me wrong, you're certainly going through some decisions and you're dealing with some level of uncertainty, but it's a little bit more normalized in a marriage. In a business, it's more volatile. So it's even, I think, even more crazy on the business side than even the marriage, but it's a lot like a marriage. So I will leave you with that. Happy Sunday. Take some time, reflect on this. If you are in that position or thinking about getting in that position, just take a second and pause and go through these warning signs, go through that question, ask yourself the hard questions, and you know, just be okay with, if this is not a good idea, be okay with that. Like, it's, trust me, it is much better to avoid going into what could potentially become a toxic partnership that leads to a broken friendship than to just have to like figure out who you need to partner with or rechange your plans. It's not worth it. It's just not worth ending a friendship. So I will leave you with that. Happy Sunday, and we will see you on the next episode.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.